Welcome to Clinically Relevant, a podcast dedicated to professional insights with healthcare leaders throughout the country. Spend some time with your host, Katie Gibson, as she speaks with healthcare leaders from various specialties and explores how they learn and grow, innovate, and adapt. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Hillary. Welcome to Clinically Relevant. This is a podcast where we tell stories of healthcare innovators and leaders, entrepreneurs and experts. I'm going to quickly introduce myself. We have one episode out so far, and this is number two, so we're gaining momentum. My name is Katie Gibson. I'm an NP, a nurse practitioner, and I started my career, my nursing career here in Charleston 10 years ago, in 2009, more than 10 years ago, 2009. I worked as a patient educator in a large OBGYN private practice here and then rolled into a position as a nurse practitioner and provider. But 3 years ago, I left the clinic and I joined a healthcare consulting and recruiting firm where I work as the director of clinical education for our acute care, travel nursing, and provider groups. So last episode, Hillary, of Clinically Relevant, I had a great conversation with a nurse leader who works for Leaderstat, and she has a really interesting, unique kind of role in the post-acute world. But today we're talking with Hillary Sadler. Going back to my roots in women's services, Hillary and I have known each other for many years, bumping into one another in L&D. Yes. And kind of like me lately, you have stepped out, not away from the world of babies and mamas, but kind of added to your expertise and career and your skills with this amazing project called The Baby Settler. So today I want to talk all about your growth, your mission, how you built this amazing resource, how you went and took your nursing expertise and said, I can do more, and made this incredible product that helps mamas everywhere. All right, let's start with your background. Tell us.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to share and talk with you. I out of high school, went to school for business. So went to College of Charleston and then ended up going to nursing school after I had my first child. So I have been a nurse I graduated from nursing school in 2015.
So 6 years. Hillary's mom and I used to work together. And I remember Debbie saying, I think Hillary's going to go to nursing school, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I remember that. Or maybe it was your master's, but somewhere I remember that.
Yes. So had my first baby and just completely did a turn on what I wanted to do with my life. And so went back to nursing school when my first child was not even a year old. Or I guess he was a year old. I can't remember. The days run together. I don't know if it was last
really
year,
do. Yeah.
2 years ago or whatever. But ended up going straight into labor and delivery out of nursing school. Loved
it. Which
is
pretty cool. You know, I feel like everybody's got to take that like med-surg stop on the road, but that's nice.
Oh, let me tell you what. So many people said to me, that's a huge mistake. You should do med surg, or you should do something. You're going to lose all your skills, or you're not going to have any skills, or, you know, but in the end, I
totally disagree with that. Yeah. Medicine is so, healthcare is so specialized that there's nothing wrong with being really good at what you do, you know?
Right. Yes. Yeah. And it's funny because I have like my sister-in-law is a STICU nurse at MUSC, and she like labor and delivery is not her thing at all. But me, I would never want to do.
Right. We all have our things, right? Yeah, I loved OBGYN. I mean, I still do. It's where my heart is. But the STICU, no, thank you.
Yes. Yes. No, thank you. So started working in labor and delivery and then had two more kids. And over the course of having a couple more kids, I finished my bachelor's and then went on to get my master's degree in nursing leadership and management. So never really had the intention to go into management or hospital administration, but kind of have that business, I guess, entrepreneur mindset. And really education is my passion. And so, you know, and really educating parents. I like educating nurses too, but not really interested in being a nursing instructor. Just kind of wanted to do something with all of that. So that is my background.
That's fabulous. It's so fulfilling educating new parents. We've talked about this before. You feel, especially as a mother going through, as a parent, but especially as a mother, I think going through that transformation and then being able to impart not only kind of your personal growth, but also your nursing expertise Yeah. It's hugely rewarding.
It definitely is. Cause you don't, you know, I've had friends over the years that I knew pre-baby and then I saw them in the hospital having their baby and like, you don't want to scare them right. before they have kids, but they also, I mean, every single one of them has said, I had no idea it was going to be like this.
Yes.
Like you don't know what you don't know until you're in it. And unfortunately I think for parents too, there is a huge gap for education for parents. There's a lot of stuff on social media. There's a lot of platforms that I think can be helpful. But when you take the nursing, you know, as a nurse, we are taught how to effectively educate our patients. So figuring out how patients learn best and really tailoring the information to the way that they can receive it the best, I think is super important. So I think sometimes it's just hard to do that in the hospital after you've just had a baby.
You're sleep deprived. You're on pain meds.
You're overjoyed.
There are a million people coming in and out of the room.
It's why they say, oh, my baby was so good in the hospital. And then I got home and what happened? But you know, you get lots of education, and you know, like in the OB office, you have frequent appointments with your OB and then you have your baby and then it's just like, see ya, you know?
It's not an old description, but there's a physician who recently said, you know, the baby, mom's like a candy wrapper. And once you get the candy out, you throw the wrapper away. And it's a horrible thing to think of.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard that analogy, but that's true.
But especially in America, we really don't do a good job always frequently. Yeah. I would say it's less common for me to be like, wow, you got really good postpartum support.
Yes.
It's just not there.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. That's so true. Yes, so true.
So you're working in L&D. Loving education. First, let's talk about Baby Settler because you have a big day. Today's a big day.
Yes.
What's happening today?
Yes. So launched my book, Baby Settler. It's not just about sleep. Yeah. It's surreal. It's like, I felt like there should be a book out there. There's lots of books out there on sleep, but I felt like there wasn't a book that was specific for moms that were wanting to breastfeed and have their baby sleep through the night. Like I kept having patients ask me in the hospital, what do you think about this book? What do you think about this book? You know, we do at the hospital and even just out in the community, I do a lot of sleep consults for infants and breastfeeding moms and moms that really want to breastfeed or are pumping and going to work and want to do a combination of both. And then all of a sudden they start this very strict schedule that number one, they feel like maybe they're failing because their baby's not following it, or it completely sabotages their breastfeeding journey. And then there's a lot of, failure associated guilt. With that yeah. guilt. Yeah. And really they were set, you know, they were given information that was going to sabotage them from day one, right. you know, so there wasn't a good book out there. So I, wrote a book and has a lot of personal, you know, I share a lot of personal experience in there, but also make sure to give you, it's got like over 40, current evidence-based research articles that are cited in the book that kind of support my recommendations and tell you why this works.
And that's the difference, right? I think with a nurse expert or a physician expert, it's got to be evidence-based. And we've talked about that, whether it's in your book, in your courses, if you're a social media influencer, if you're talking about people's healthcare and breastfeeding and postpartum care is healthcare, you have to go to the research. You have to go to those validated sources. Otherwise you get people's opinions and it just doesn't work, you know?
Yeah. And it's hard because even on like Google, if you Google something and you find, you know, you put something in, you have a question and it's from John Hopkins or some kind of, you know, what you think is a reputable source and what people that maybe haven't, you know, really learned how to read through the evidence, but you see the articles are from 1978 or 1999 or, you know what I mean? Like it's not the current evidence base because we're always changing. Like and we should, as nurses, we should always be striving to educate ourselves and stay current. And what I told somebody 5 years ago might not apply today, and that's okay. And I think that's really important about being a leader and growing and feeling confident sharing. So I think for me, I mean, obviously I'm not saying that my way is the only way, but I think a lot of parents have found success with my methods because it's evidence-based. It's not something that I made up or some trick or anything like that. It's just what the evidence shows us works.
And what you were using in your practice.
Yes.
Right. I mean, I think that's when I came to the marketing team and I said, I want to help with the podcast. And I started to think, what can we talk about? Because we do recruiting and it's, but the best part of my job is that I get to talk to nurses and providers frequently who do kind of unique, have taken their kind of conventional role and then sometimes added this unique component and it becomes a story. And I think that's what's so interesting about your story is that you took, here you are, certified lactation consultant, experienced L&D nurse, and then you also moved into the baby side too, right? In the hospital.
Yep. So newborns, mother, baby.
Transition. Postpartum. Yep.
Yep. Transition nurse. Yep.
And took that experience and said, talk a little bit about how the idea sparked, where you went from kind of these traditional jobs to, I need to do more. I've got an idea.
Yeah. So I know, I think I've even talked to you in the past about that 5-year itch or like a lot of nurses get it. They're like, all right, you know, I think what is, I don't know. Isn't there some train of thought that as a nurse, it takes you 5 years to become an expert or something?
I believe that. I think the 10,000 hour thing.
Yeah. Like, I feel like I heard something, or maybe it was in nursing school. They said in the first year, you're what, a complete novice. And then you kind of learn. So maybe that's why it's the 5-year mark, but got to the 5-year mark and was kind of like, and really maybe a little bit before that, but just loved doing what I was doing, but felt limited, specifically with really helping educate after discharge home from the hospital. And you know, in the hospital, we have to prioritize what's the most important thing for you to learn while you're here. Yeah. You know, the most important thing is general newborn care and you know, making sure your baby's feeding enough and that sort of thing. So I actually considered, you know, looking at different specialties, like what, you know, kind of spent 6 months just feeling very uneasy, had several job offers that were outside of the OBGYN women's newborn baby specialty. And at the end of the day, I just didn't feel, I was like, this is not what I want. I want to do something different, but this does not feel right. And so I actually had a conversation with my, my sister-in-law who passed away from breast cancer, last March, in March of 2020. But she was actually the first one that I had the conversation about baby settler with, and it didn't have a name at that point in time, but she was like, yeah, you know, she agreed that like, this was definitely kind of my calling and was like, you know, figure it out. So transition to a lactation consultant. So I am an IBCLC, which is an international board certified lactation consultant, transitioned to that role to have a little bit more flexibility with my schedule, and then started helping parents outside of the hospital with private consulting, virtual and in-person in the Charleston, South Carolina area.
Which is, if I can interrupt you, really important.
Yeah.
Because the foundation of the IBCLC, if I'm correct, is y'all are so evidence-based. And I think that's just amazing. The recommendations really, of course you meet your patient where they are and tailor the care, but it's really got science and research behind it to help patients be successful. And I think that it really cuts through the noise with breastfeeding because you know you can rely on the recommendations being given.
Yes. And they're international, like, you know, the recommendations you get in Europe or wherever over the world are the same. We all take the same test to pass it. So it's that internet. So that, and, you know, and there are other, I was a CLC, which is a certified lactation counselor before I was an IBCLC. So the IBCLC, you have to have, I think it's over 1500 hours of hands-on clinical, you know, experience, like hours to even be able to sit for that exam. So it definitely, going back to, so I lost my train of thought.
Sorry, I got you off. So you were talking about how you talked with your sister-in-law about this idea and it started to kind of germinate and take shape.
Yes.
And, I remember. Yep. Okay.
All right. So then started as consults and like loved doing consults, but realized that that wasn't really scalable. And after doing a lot, I think I did maybe 50 consults in the first 2 or 3 months, everyone was asking the same questions. Like it was just this foundational information that was missing. And so I was trying to think about how can I give this information and make it accessible to everyone who wants it? Cause I can't do that by doing all these consults. Right.
It's only one of you.
Yes. So that is where I had the idea to create an online course. So basically spent all last summer, July, August, kind of writing my course, really organizing it and put it together, and then had to assemble a team of people to help me make it happen. Launched that course in September of 2020. And then it's funny, my husband this morning after the, you know, the book launched today, and he goes, "So what's next?"
That's my question. Luke stole it from me. Yeah.
Yes, because he said, you know, because I launched my course and then it was the book. All right, I'll write the book. And so spent time writing the book. And before that, it was like, do my bachelor's, do my master's, you know, all these kind of things. So you can ask me that question at the end.
Well, there's a personality type, right? Like we talked about this, the entrepreneur, I think, energy of like, I see a problem, I have to solve it.
Yes.
But
yes.
And always moving forward. It's like always. Right. The people I know, the business owners in my life who are real drivers, that's how they are. It's like, what's the next problem? What's the next challenge? Just keep kind of moving forward. And I think
is a blessing and a curse sometimes. Yes. Like there's definitely a balance.
But it's, I think when you couple that with the clinical background, it leads to some really interesting creative outcomes like Baby Settler. I think that's super cool. So I looked through some of your courses this week. You're so comfortable and you seem so at ease and articulate. How much preparation how do you get ready for that? Is it just come to you naturally or how much do you work on it?
You know, I think for me, it's just the mindset of when I am either on Instagram talking in my stories or creating courses, it's just, I'm very good at compartmentalizing and kind of, so for me, I'm like talking to one person, like I'm talking to you and not really worrying about who might be watching this or who doesn't like this. Because at the end of
the
day,
it's important, right? I mean, you have 12,000 followers now on Instagram or something like
that? I think 14,000.
Oh my word. That increased like in a week, yeah. I think. Yeah. That's amazing.
But I think because at the end of the day, if I help just a couple people, then that's good for me. Like that is, you know, it doesn't matter to me. Of course, there's going to be people that, don't agree. So this is kind of a side note, but I shared in my stories the other day about my stance on delivering in a freestanding birth center as opposed to a hospital setting.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was going to be a little bit controversial because I know people have strong opinions about that.
Yes.
But I had some, so I also have my RNC OB, which is my inpatient obstetric certification. And so I get like updates on all the current evidence-based research articles and what's new and what's coming out. And there was a study, a retrospective cohort study that was published this month. I think I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, just, I think it's important for people to have information to be able to make the best decisions for themselves. So I wanted to share those studies. And then also,
explain what the study said. It was,
so the studies basically said that, a freestanding birth center, you don't have the immediate support that you need from a whole interdisciplinary care team when things go wrong. So it's not that it's the midwife, it's not that it's the, you know, if a OBGYN was delivering in a freestanding birth center without the ancillary support, then they would have the same, potentially have the same outcomes as a midwife.
Doesn't have the care delivery system.
Exactly.
With it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that is, you know, I've had two of my three babies I've had unmedicated in the hospital setting. And I mean, I get that I have an advantage because I'm a labor and delivery nurse and I, you know, it's kind of my world, but I think that, you know, recently I've had, you know, there was a really bad outcome, the worst outcome you can imagine, with a baby that delivered at a freestanding birth center. And I saw that baby and I had my hands on that baby. And had they been, I'm not, you know, I don't know what the outcome would have been, but what I do know is had they delivered in the hospital, we would have had respiratory therapy. We would have had neonatology, anesthesia. We would have people that could intubate that baby. And it takes multiple nurses to run a code blue NEO. Like it's not something that can happen with one or two people. It's a whole team. So yes.
So when you posted that in your stories, what was the feedback?
So
I think the follow-up would be too, how do you manage that in a way?
Yeah. So, you know, you have to agree to disagree. So I kind of said, I'm not saying that, you know, this is information that I'm sharing and we can still be friends, even if we don't agree. You know, I think that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is, because we all have different and also our subjective, the things that happen to us in life and the experiences that we are a part of help mold us and shape us into our opinions and thoughts about things. Mm-hmm. And so I think when we're helping patients, it's really important that we don't assert our subjective feelings on people. Sure. But when we have the evidence to say, this is how I feel about this, and here's the evidence, you can read it and see what you think about it. Mm-hmm. And knowing that it is a legitimate source, mm-hmm. That isn't tainted by somebody else's subjective feelings is really important. So yeah, so the you know, feedback was overwhelmingly positive. I think it's a way bigger issue as far as I'm not oblivious to the fact that hospitals aren't necessarily supportive for natural unmedicated births. And that's a huge problem. And I think it drives a lot of people to go to freestanding birth centers mm-hmm. or have home births. So it's a huge problem. And, but it's unfortunate. Hopefully, I feel like there's a lot of, so Mama Dr. Jones is, she has an Instagram account, a YouTube channel, and she has a video about that topic. So just, I think the more people talk about it and the more light that's brought to it. And even that article talks about how we need to make women feel more supportive in the hospital setting. So whether that's the nursing staff caring for them mm-hmm. that are not rolling their eyes at their birth plan and that are really trying, you know, again, take your personal feelings out of it and support. Your job is to be a patient advocate. So whatever that patient wants, yes, we're going to educate them, but you're the advocate.
Absolutely.
You're not the, yeah,
totally agree. And I think it's really interesting in the context of, you know, we're talking about how you've built your brand, right? And your social media presence. And social media is a community. Instagram is a community where people will go to get information. And if somebody's story is appealing to them, whether that person is an expert or not, they're going to relate to that and then sometimes want to replicate that. So again, having those voices that are evidence-based that will give an opinion that might not always be popular, but would be grounded kind of in science and clear mm-hmm. recommendations helps, I think, shape the conversation. I think that's why it's so important to have clinical experts in that space talking and pointing to sources and even just recognizing that evidence and research are an important part of any decision that you make with regard to your healthcare. You know, it's not just an influencer who does XYZ, it's looking for the right information and how to do that.
Yeah. And I think my whole reason to share it about that in my stories was that because I figured maybe there's a couple women on here who are delivering in a birth center because they feel like they can't have the delivery they want in a hospital. Mm-hmm. And maybe they haven't thought, I think I even said in my stories, like, you got to think about the what ifs. It's not fun to think about the what ifs, but you have to think about the what ifs, because what if this happens and you only have minutes to, you know, help either a mom who's having a postpartum hemorrhage or a baby that comes out and is just, you know, needs to be resuscitated. If it takes you minutes to get to the hospital, that could be the difference between life and death. You only have minutes to, and so that was kind of my whole point of that, of sharing that. So hopefully that helps somebody at least make, you know, consider and look at the research and maybe start asking questions.
It's amazing to have that platform. And like you said, it's a good way to scale and reach a larger audience for sure. Okay. Let's take a quick minute, take a break.
Okay.
To hear from our sponsor.
Clinically Relevant is sponsored by Leaderstat. For over 20 years, Leaderstat has provided exceptional staffing, recruitment, and consulting services to healthcare organizations nationwide. To learn how Leaderstat can help your organization with critical hiring needs or consulting expertise, visit leaderstat.com.
Let's talk about, how did you educate yourself on social media? I see so many nurses out there, and you and I have talked about the different nurses and doctors that we, and other providers that we follow. And I'm always like, how do they do these fancy things
with
their stories? And the, it really does so often look so professional. It's amazing.
Well, if you looked back at my account from when it first started or go back in my stories, you'll be like, oh, I can tell she definitely educated herself.
How'd you do that? What'd you learn?
Yeah. YouTube, blogs, lots of blogs out there. Again, I feel like getting my master's degree and having to write papers, I kind of can quickly mm-hmm. sift through it and be like, okay, that's helpful. Nope. Yes. No, you know, looking for stuff.
It is so true. They school you on that APA and like valid sources. It's really helpful.
Yeah, it is. So just kind of, I mean, honestly, hours and hours and hours of So I feel like I finished my master's degree and then I went to marketing school. Like I self-taught, you know, spent the last year. And it's, I mean, even now, so my book launch, you know, working with my team to figure out the best book launch strategy. Like we
and
had
when
to
you say team, who's your team? Is it?
Yeah. So I have an assistant that helps me that just came on in February and she is local to Charleston, but her husband's in the Air Force. So she may end up moving around, but she is kind of my right-hand man. I have a team out in Nashville who are my design and production team. So they built my website. They, Lauren and David Hamby, own Canvas Branding and they are amazing to work with. They have a little boy that is, I think he's going to be maybe 2 this July, but in the season. So it seems that I've surrounded myself with people that are all in the same season of life. Not that I've done that on purpose, but I think my brand attracts those.
Yeah, for sure.
Those type of people.
I mean, that's your target audience. So what you're doing is working.
Yeah. And then I have to tell you, I have a friend who doesn't work for Baby Settler, but she's a very close friend. She's here in the Charleston. And I actually met her. I did a consult for her. So she was a patient of one of the OBGYNs that I'm really close with. And she went to her 6-week postpartum visit and was just really having a lot of difficulties related to breastfeeding and oversupply. It's not talked about a lot. Like, you know, if you say you have an oversupply, somebody congratulates you on your freezer full of milk. But the reality was she couldn't hold her baby between feedings because she was in so much pain and just, it wasn't something, you know, it was a pain point for her.
Wasn't the good problem to have.
No, it wasn't a good problem to have. And so she had gone through several lactation consultants and met her through my friend that's an OBGYN and did a consult for her, found out she was childhood friends with my older sister, like, you know, 10 years ago. And we just developed this relationship and she ended up, I kind of mentored her on babies and she mentored me on business and all the things. And it's funny because she from the beginning told me things like, you need to start a blog, you need to be on Pinterest, you know, things that were really important, but I kind of had to make mistakes and go through, you know, it's this process. You, in my mind, I thought this was important, but really that wasn't important. This was important.
Gotcha. So I would start to like build your, you get the idea.
Yep.
You start to shape your brand.
Yep.
I think mentors are so important. Every time I talk to somebody who's kind of doing something unique and is successful, they almost always talk about this person that they connected with who kind of helped them go to the next level. It sounds like she served that.
She was. Yes, absolutely. And then just kind of tried something. If it doesn't work, readjust. Pinterest is a huge thing in blogging, kind of optimizing.
Interesting. I think Pinterest I wouldn't have considered originally, but that makes sense. I can see a good place to keep all your thoughts, right? So
yeah, well, I just think going back, like when I had my first baby, what did I do? I went and created a Pinterest board for Baby Saddler, you know? And it's funny because I went back and looked and I was like, oh man. And right now I'm not really on Pinterest that much. But when I was a new parent, I was finding articles, finding blog posts, saving them to my board. So the farthest member I have is in South Africa.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
So she is wonderful. My friend who I was talking about, who is my mentor, her name is actually Jessica Smith. She's in Charleston and she's working at a company called Olive & Co. She is an incredible photographer, but she is the one that got me connected with Megan, who has been an amazing, I mean, just done. Go check out my Pinterest account.
Okay. Everybody check it out on Pinterest.
Yes. She is definitely, I've seen the most success with, you know, blogs and Pinterest is the biggest thing. We spent a lot of money right after course launch on advertising and it was not, that was a mistake, but you know, I think that you kind of learn what works and
pivot, you know, you try it, try again. Yep. I think you told me the other day when we were kind of prepping for this, persistence. Like you just need to be persistent.
Absolutely. Get a lot of no's and a lot of not getting return emails and having social media flops and whatever. And just being persistent. You know, I feel like it's a roller coaster. I'll be feeling really excited about something. And then I'm like, oh man, you know,
harder day.
Yeah.
So yeah. When, without getting too detailed, what have been the moments where you're like, ugh, What am I doing?
Yeah.
Do I need to regroup and do something different? And then how did you learn from that?
Yeah. So to be completely transparent, I was really shocked by my course launch. I thought that I was going to launch these courses, and you could even, if you asked my family members, I was saying, oh, we're going to sell, you know, 100 courses in the first month. Like, and honestly, I thought we'd sell more than that. That's like a lower number. Cause I just, I think I wanted parents to have this information so bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, at one point I just wanted to give it away for free for a month. I was like, let's just give it. And you know, I was like, I mean, obviously it was a financial investment to make the courses and build the website. And, you know, so mm-hmm. I wish I could give them all away for free, but yeah, I was really discouraged, in that first month after launch, cause it just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And then spending a lot of money on advertising. And I just remember that sick feeling in my stomach every time I would see the debit come out of our bank account. And I'm like, you know, I just feel like we're just pouring that money, you know? And, you know, there's times when you just get burned out. Like you just, and I think it's important to take a break. I feel like it's important to have people on your team, if you can, to kind of carry you through those lulls mm-hmm. when you're kind of burned out, just because it's going to happen. I think it happens to everyone who is creating
any startup, right? Yeah. I mean, I think this division here, when I joined, was a startup within an established company, and there were some big ups and downs. And as a clinician, not a business person, I kept thinking, what the heck? Like, how is this not, to your point, like, how do we not have 50 travelers in the field yet? Why are we not doing this? How is it not coming together? And our CEO would consistently say, it takes time.
Yes.
It takes time. You just got to keep like chugging along and failing and have some moments that are not, that don't feel like success, but it's all moving in the right direction. You just can't give up.
Yes. Yeah. And that's hard, I think, for creators and entrepreneurs, because we want to see, we know we're pouring our heart and soul into something. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, I mean, basically my husband said this morning, actually, you know, you've spent the last year of your life, like, every waking hour. I mean, I'm a mom, I'm a wife. I was, you know, I still work 30 hours a week at the hospital. I do consults, like, you know, but I love it. If I didn't love it, there's no way. I think it's important that you find something that you're passionate about, because if you're trying to do something just to make money, it's not going to work out.
A minute ago, when you said, I would love to give my courses away for free, I thought, I was listening to an audiobook recently about just success and your profession, and that if you do something for the money, it will mm-hmm. be soul sucking. And you, but if you do something you love, and we've all heard this, do something you love and you don't work a day in your life, right?
Yes.
You think.
So yeah, I think if you do something for money, you will definitely get burned out because it has to be a passion. So prior to becoming a nurse, and when I was in my early 20s and my teens, like 18, 19 through 23, I rode horses professionally, and that was my passion. So riding horses, teaching horseback lessons, and I would work 7 days a week, 7 to 7. And that worked in my husband and I have been married for 12 years. And so we got married when I was still kind of in the horse world. And mm-hmm. I mean, I worked all the time, but it never felt like work, because at that point in my life, that was my passion. And then I had kids, and we, you know, I was getting our marriage and realized that that was not my passion anymore. And so kind of had to, and then we had our first child, and then realized that nursing was my passion, which my mom, I actually got into USC's nursing college right out of high school, like got in their program.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, pushing, kind of like, you should go to nursing school. And I was like, I'm not going to be
Hillary's mom is a nurse as well. So
yes, my mom. Yep. So I was like, I'm not going to be a nurse. I'm not doing that. Like, that's not what I want to do. And then I became a nurse. So that's funny. But yeah, I think that's super important, is if it's for the money, it's not, you're not going to be able to push through the hard stuff.
Okay. So back to Luke's question, what's next?
I don't know. I'm going to take a break for a little while. I think it's important to kind of, you know, have some breaks, maybe another book. I really enjoyed writing a book, but I don't know. What problem do you see that needs?
I mean, postpartum care in America is a big one to tackle.
Oh gosh. I know.
I think there's always going to be a need for that. Maybe more kind of peri You know, the thing that I found in practice that people are somewhat more aware of postpartum mental health issues, but just perinatal mental health issues are something that I think, you know, either journaling or thinking throughout the pregnancy about how you're feeling mentally, and that from baby to baby, that can be different. I think that's a huge area that needs.
There's a book.
So there you go. There's your next book. Yeah. So if there is a nurse listening, who's thinking, who's got the 5-year itch and is thinking, am I going to do this forever? Cause that I told you, that's when I started to think about leaving and joining LeaderStat. I said, there are parts of practicing that I love and there are things I will miss, but am I really going to do this every day for the next, hopefully 20, 30 years? If somebody is starting that journey, what advice would you give them?
I would say, don't make any rash decisions. And thankfully, I think my husband is a super grounded person. And thankfully I had a person like that in my life that kind of asked the hard questions and helped, because my personality is definitely, you know, I make quick decisions, like, but as I've matured and gotten older, I have slowed down a lot. But I think don't settle, don't stay in a job. I know working on the floor, there's nurses that I work with that have been at the same job for, you know, 10, 15 years. And you can tell that they're not passionate. You can tell that they're not, their heart's not in it. And so your patients can tell, you know, their patients can tell. And so I think education, always educating yourself.
Especially after the last year, right? I mean.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. And education. And, but that's really, is that helpful advice? That's, I don't know.
Good advice. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think it's fun to hear how you, like I said, when you look at how polished your courses are and the work behind it, to hear that you did reach out to a team, that you educated yourself, you used YouTube, you have a mentor. But at the end of the day, we're nurses, so we don't always know how to put together the website and put those nuts and bolts together. But it looks fabulous, and you've built such an amazing brand. I think it's a testament to nursing expertise. I think sometimes we not get sidelined, but it's sometimes we're underestimated, right? And you have an incredible amount of knowledge and expertise that is really useful for new mothers in particular. So I'm so proud of you.
Oh, well, thank you. Amazing. I thought of something that you said, and maybe this is more a message to nurse leaders, leaders that are in a leadership position, but remember that, you know, cause I remember I was really lucky to come into a hospital setting in labor and delivery as a new grad with very supportive nurses. Yeah. Like I never felt like I couldn't ask a question or that I was going to be looked at like I was dumb or I should know that. And I think when nurses that are leaders, charge nurses, seasoned nurses that are on the floor, if we don't make new grads feel like they're in a safe environment and so like they can ask the questions, number one, it's not good for just the atmosphere on the unit, but also it's not good for our patients. It's just, I mean, that's how you have those near misses and safety events.
I mean, there's really good data that shows that type of that toxic environment where you can't make a mistake in a supportive way or ask the questions absolutely lead to safety issues.
Yep.
It's funny. It's interesting. My husband's an airline pilot, and the same is true in the airline industry.
Oh, really?
There was a huge cultural push in, I think, the 80s or 90s, I can't remember, after a couple accidents to make sure that there was a culture in the cockpit where you could push back, ask questions, and kind of question authority in a professional, safe way, and it helped reduce those errors. And I think there's so many overlaps with aviation and medicine.
And what you just said about that is also true. So being new grad nurses or nurses that are more eager to learn potentially, I'm not saying it's like that for everyone, but there are some nurses that are seasoned that kind of feel like I've learned everything I can learn. You know, if you get to that point, I don't want you as
take a break. Yeah.
Yeah. Take a break. Yeah.
My joke is they call it practice for a reason. You're always learning.
Right. Always learning. And so there are going to be times when you have a nurse that's maybe younger than you that, you know, or not necessarily younger in age, but younger in nursing. Newer nurse that maybe they do have some information you should hear and you don't want to shut them down or make them feel like their voice is not valid. But I saw there's a nurse on Instagram that I follow, and she did a post about, you know, being able to read the room and emotional intelligence. I think I mentioned it to you. Yeah. And I think that's really important for new grad nurses too. And maybe even like for travel nurses, because we've had, our hospital has grown a lot recently. And so we've had some travel nurses come through and really just go into it with some perception about what your, what's the word, like
emotional,
yeah, self-awareness. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. knowing kind of your role and where you fit. Yeah. And so yeah. I agree. And I think we're, you know, I kind of grew up at the same hospital. Mm-hmm. The providers similarly were really supportive. And so you yeah. feel like you can learn
yes.
and grow. And for years, even after I'd been in practice for many years, I could go to them and say, I'm sorry, I have to ask this question. And they would say, stop. It's okay. Yeah. This is how we learn.
Yeah.
We have practiced on thousands of patients in our residency before we started to practice on our own. And that's, it takes time for everybody. And I think that's true no matter what you're doing, right? Like when we're talking yep. about jumping into something new with entrepreneurship, you have to take that persistence and the willingness to kind of fall down and get back up again. And use it
absolutely.
To grow in all aspects for sure. And as a mom.
Yep. Oh yeah, for sure. Absolutely. My 23-year-old mom is definitely different than my, you know, than I am right. today. For sure.
Exactly. We all grow and learn. Anything else you want to add today about your experience or baby settler?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, definitely you can check out my Instagram handle, baby settler. Any questions, if anyone who's listening to this, if you have questions, feel free to shoot me an email, hillary@babysettler.com.
And we'll link up your contact information on the website.
Okay, awesome.
And I know we talked about doing, digging in a little bit more with a blog post on evidence-based recommendations on social media.
I love
media.
Talking about that.
Me too. I think it is such an important piece of this puzzle with nurses and providers being on yeah. social media channels. So we'll get that linked up with the podcast. And thank awesome. You for your time today.
Yeah, this was absolutely. Wonderful. I was so excited to
you and I can talk all day, man.
Yes, we can. I yes. know we have to limit ourselves.
Okay, great. Thanks, Hillary.
Thank you for listening to Clinically Relevant. This podcast has been produced by CD Voices and brought to you by our sponsor, LeaderStat. Check us out at leaderstat.com/clinically-relevant. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review.